to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. On this first day of the new year, at least for some, it's a good time to set the table for the Kansas City area when it comes to what the big challenges facing our community are this year and who the newsmakers to watch are for 2014. There may be no better group to do that than the Ruckettes from KCPT's Ruckus Show that airs at 7:30 on Thursday evenings. Ruckus is the weekly food for thought fight over the news of the day and the trends of the times, and it explores all manner of issues facing the metro. And Mike, did I say that right? How am I doing?
It's wonderful. Not bad, news of the day and the trends of the times.
There you go. And later on this hour, Brian McTavish will be in to kick off entertainment in 2014 with our weekend to-do list. And now joining us this morning from KCPT's Ruckus program are Mike Shannon. He's the original Ruckette and the host of the show. Mike, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Steve. Thanks for inviting us.
Mary O'Halloran is the media and communications consultant. Mary, Happy New Year to you.
Good to see you, Steve.
And my colleague from the Kansas City Star, the editorial writer, Yale Abouhaka. Yale, good to have you, too. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, let's begin with this, Yale. Is Kansas City headed in the right direction or not? What do you think?
I'd say yes. And I had just a call this morning and putting it together about Sly James and some of
the stuff ask you about it. Yeah.
Faces. But, you know, I mean, the KCI decision could be made this year. The streetcar decisions could be made this year. The big challenge of murders, which Christine Vendel wrote about this morning, you know, we just got to get something handled on that. But I think the confidence level is pretty high. There are a lot of the younger people downtown. I don't think there's ever been a better time to be downtown as far as the population has tripled in the last 12 years. There are a dozen housing projects that Kevin Collison's written about recently in the Star, just for example. Now, going out further, the single biggest project, in my opinion, probably for this region, is Cerner's development out south.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I wrote about that a couple of weeks ago. It's not just Cerner, but there's also that whole Stowers development out there that might occur. I mean, we actually might turn around in, you know, 6 or 8 years and find out that South Kansas City has been revived. That would be incredible. And then finally, North Kansas City, or Kansas City north of the river, just continues to percolate along. I mean, again, 10,000, 15,000 people being added there in the next couple of years. So just look, overall, most of those trends are going in the right direction.
Well, Mary O'Halloran, is this just New Year's optimism? There are so many
is
issues.
Is Yale just overdoing
yes,
it?
Yes, there are so many issues facing the city, from crime to abandoned homes in the inner city to debt load, all kinds of things. Is Kansas City headed in the right direction or not, in your view?
Well, I think that Yale correctly stated where the major issues are headed. Of course, none of the issues that he raised have been decided. So I suppose it is positive that we are getting to the point where we're going to decide what happens to the design of the city council, for example, or resolving the airport crisis and a number of these major questions. But, you know, generally speaking, I'm just going to be kind of trivial here for the fun of it. The sports teams in this town have added a tremendous enthusiasm, and no doubt bolstered the economy. When you look at the Chiefs, the Royals, I spent too many summer nights in front of the television watching the Royals for the first time in 10 or 12 years.
And this year we're going to win the Super Bowl, and we're going to win the World Series, and it's all going to happen in 2014, right?
And Sporting Kansas City bringing home the National Champion Soccer Trophy to Johnson County. That was just amazing.
Well, Mr. Original Ruckhead,
I think,
himself.
Wyandotte County.
Excuse me, Mike.
Wyandotte County.
Wyandotte County. You're right.
What? The original Ruckhead has spoken. What do you think, Mike? Right direction or not?
Yeah, I think it's the right direction. I think there's a sense of optimism that exists. Yale was optimistic, and that's a breakthrough.
That says something.
I think there's a sense of optimism in the greater Kansas City area that has not been here in the recent past. When you talk about sports events, it does something for the economy, as Mary suggests. It also does something for the psyche of the community. But as we're talking about all these successes, we need to bear in mind there are problems, and perhaps most notable among them, what happens to the Kansas City, Missouri School District in 2014.
Well, we're talking about the sports teams being a reason for this sort of happier mood. What about the spirit of the mayor himself, Sly James? I mean, we joke about this is the longest political honeymoon in American history following Mark Funkhauser. But this guy, it's made a difference, hasn't it?
Yeah. One of the things is, somebody asked me that actually on Twitter yesterday, is he the most popular mayor you've covered in 30 years? And I thought back you know, in this order, going backwards, I guess, I go Funkhauser obviously was least popular. And I probably put Barnes. But Kansas Citians love their mayors. They
love
really
their mayors.
Do.
You write that all
and
the time,
Barnes
and you're right about that.
Was pretty popular and did some stuff for downtown. Cleaver had a rocky first 3 or 4 years, but his second term was just, you know, amazing. Obviously, been elected as a congressman. And then, you know, Richard Berkeley was mayor for 12 years and was still popular. He's seen as a, you know, just a glad hander, but he was very popular. But I think Sly's combination of, hey, I'm optimistic about the city and I'm going to get things done, you know, getting the streetcar stuff and being behind that when some people didn't want to do it. Getting behind the half-cent sales tax increase that, frankly, I didn't think would pass, and it did pass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has some tall orders. He did not get what he wanted on local control police. He may not get what he wants on KCI. So we'll see. There may be a limit to the honeymoon aspect, but I do think what
it's
he brings is getting people involved. You know, the young people, he's reached out to them. Improving, and technology has helped do that as well, you know, getting young people involved in technology, some of these brain trust things he's created at City Hall have been helpful.
Mary?
I think you can take – I agree with everything Yale just said. In addition to that, take a look at how he's actually managing. After he was elected, he put his opponent in charge of 3 or 4 of his major priorities. And so Mike Burke is happy to do that, and he has contributed greatly. That's a sign of somebody who really knows what they're doing in terms of getting people, the city behind
them. And it's also a sign of what a classy campaign can do for your city. Instead of having two guys tear each other apart, they didn't go there and look what the result has been. Mike Burke has been nothing but gracious.
I think that
you
quoted me in the Star saying we're going to have an unprecedented dialogue during that campaign. And we did. And they're still having it. I was at a gathering the other night, and the mayor was there. I just stood back and watched him. He had a big crowd around him, and he was engaging in a debate. There were several people there who didn't agree with him about certain things. And I don't know that I've ever seen that from a major politician lately, where just openly give and take. Most people didn't agree with him about subject I was there for. And it was fun. And people enjoyed it. And people enjoyed it.
And I bet he was smiling the whole time.
He was smiling the whole time.
There you go.
Well, Steve, I've been a long-time proponent of the strong mayor form of government, and I hope we have it someday in Kansas City, Missouri.
We're slowly getting there.
I think so. But the counter-argument is, if you have the right person in the job, you have a strong mayor immediately, regardless. And I think, as much as it hurts my argument for a strong mayor, Sly James is proving that. The personality of the individual and the effort of the individual can, to some extent, overcome the limitations that the city charter places on the mayor's office.
Yeah. We're visiting with the Rockettes this morning. If you're just joining us on our first show of the new year here on Up to Date, and we want to know what you want to see happen in the Kansas City region this year. What's your prediction for the Kansas City Metro in 2014? Our phone number here, 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Again, 816-235-2888. You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org or tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Well, Mike Shannon, you guys have talked many times actually over the years about the school system and the city. And Mike, you've already mentioned it here this morning. My question is, can this city be the city it wants to be with a school district that remains unaccredited? I mean, what about that? Has the math changed? Does that idea still hold? Where do you come down there?
I come down on break up the district and do something else. I don't know exactly what the solution is, Steve. I don't think educators know what the solution is, but we know that we've had 30-plus years and billions of dollars spent on trying to find a solution. Thus far, it has been unsuccessful, and you have thousands of young people who have suffered from inferior educations. And you can't solve all of these problems that exist by simply putting more money into the system. I was talking to an educator yesterday. We were talking about the Kansas City, Missouri district, and I said something I've said previously, mm-hmm. and I was pleased he agreed with it. The biggest problem is you can't legislate good parenting. You can't make parents get involved in their children's lives, make sure they go to school, make sure they do whatever homework they have, whatever projects they're involved in. If you don't have that, then the schools are somewhat powerless in being able to solve the education problem.
Yale Abouhaka, time to break up the system and do something else, or what do you think?
I'm not a big proponent of that. Obviously, some people point to the fact that, hey, independence took some over and there's been some improvements in school there. there's obviously an idea out there that Raytown could take some more, could take some, Independence could take some, you know, maybe North Kansas City. But I also go back to the thought I've been throwing out there for like 10 or 15 years. The Kansas City public school system is so small now, 15, 16,000 kids. It used to be 70,000. Even you know, 15 years ago, it was 35,000. The charter system has not really worked that well. I mean, there are some certainly good charter schools. But it's so small that there has to be a way of turning it around. I mean, in other words, I think, yes, they're kind of headed in the right direction under Stephen Green. I mean, you know, bright guy who's here for the right reasons, all that kind of stuff. And Mike alluded to the fact that it's not just the schools. There really are the poverty issues and all the other parenting issues that
right.
the schools can't have much to do with. And we're talking about such a small inner core area of Kansas City. But let me answer maybe your larger question, which is, hey, can Kansas City be a good city without a good Kansas City, Missouri public school system? And I continue to say yes. I mean, we have 14 districts in this city. All the growth north of the river, none of them is served by the Kansas City public school system. They have Liberty. They have North Kansas City. They have Park Hill. I mean, all pretty good school systems. So Kansas City itself can do well. But then you get back to, no, we still want south of the river in that core area to have a good school district. So I do think they're in the right direction. I do not think any of this transfer stuff is any good at all. I think their legislature will probably make that decision, the state legislature,
right.
and get rid of the transfer rule because it's just bad for everybody. So you know, I'm not a big proponent of breaking up, but I can see it heading that way if improvements are not made.
You know, Mary, Yale's so right. There are a whole bunch of school districts inside of Kansas City, Missouri, but there still is, it seems to me, and I've talked about this on Nick Haines' show, on We Can Review mm-hmm. any number of times, this notion that the image, the brand has been so tarnished that, you know, people who are looking at our city from the outside, what they hear about us is there's a problem with the school district, whether, you know, that's completely accurate or not.
Oh, I think it's completely accurate. I think the
But it's not. But, okay, go ahead. There's only 15,000 kids. There are more than 80,000 kids in Kansas City going to school.
But Steve asked me about the brand and how that affects the image of the city as a whole, because that's the one that's referred to. We have all had experiences of people moving to this city and finding out that they wouldn't think of putting their kids in the public school in the center of the city. And so the first thing they do is figure out, we're going to live in Johnson County and work in Kansas City. That's just a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And there are numbers of questions about how the future ought to be guided with regard to the district. But I disagree with this transfer policy. I think that would just be disastrous for children.
But the question remains, will the General Assembly change the law that would prohibit that? And how much confidence anyone can have in that happening, I don't know. It didn't happen
last
session.
But it was a disaster over in the St. Louis area and continues to be.
The Normandy School District and others. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that for the first time you see the surrounding districts coming together with the school district and forming a coalition that I don't know if that's ever existed before. I don't think so. They have a plan mm-hmm. that really appeals to me as a former teacher of assistance to the worst schools in the district, of keeping kids in their neighborhoods, of not busing them again to new neighborhoods, and so on. And I think the superintendents of the surrounding districts or the bordering districts deserve a lot of credit. If they really put together that coalition, they could have a chance in the legislature.
I think they had some self-interest in that, Mary.
They certainly do. And I don't particularly like all the things I hear about the interest in doing that. But at least it's a step forward.
You're saying you want to avoid a disaster. We're in the middle of a disaster with the Kansas City School District.
And yet, though, Mike Shannon, and yet we're sitting here talking about this district in these tough terms. We have a still somewhat new superintendent who's been at the helm for a while, new stability there. You have a sense the board is working cohesively. Those are things that this city has demanded for years. Yes. We have it now, and we're still being critical.
And 70% of the students don't achieve grade level in the testing.
And that's the issue.
Well, that is the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't care about the board members. They're adults, functioning human beings who can get along without the Kansas City School District. I suspect there are lots of entrenched forces in the Kansas City, Missouri School District who want very few things change because of their own status and their own situation.
Yeah. We asked our listeners what they want to see happen in the Kansas City Metro this year in their wish list for 2014. Amy GKC tweets this: more awareness of local arts like the Living Room Theater, local music, fashion, etc., and getting more young people involved in the arts like the Kansas City Symphony and the Kansas City Ballet. Gene Willis tweeted this: an accredited and functioning Kansas City, Missouri school district. Chiefs Super Bowl run. A construction-free summer downtown. Amen to that, Gene. Mary Jo Burton tweeted this: continued strong city leadership from Mayor Sly to Manager Troy, north, south, and east. One city, unified focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we haven't hit too much on is the regional approach here.
Yeah.
Because I assume this signal reaches Johnson County. So we have to think that.
Yes, it does. Thank you. And Wyandotte. Many good listeners. And Wyandotte.
And Wyandotte County,
and
as
Douglas,
well as Platte
and Clay. And Shawnee, for that matter. Yale, but who's
so,
counting?
Yeah. But one of the good things is if we could get a little bit more, you know, regional thinking on some of these issues. And one of them, of course, is the whole job development thing that we've written about in the Star, and you certainly talk about here, the border war, where we're just throwing around these incentives. And, you know, that is important because it does take away tax money for both Kansas and Missouri cities that could be spent on, you know, better things. I mean, on public services. Kansas City really has crippled itself over 20 or 30 years of some of these giveaway programs. And I understand totally, because I've talked to all these development lawyers, that, well, you'll get nothing to happen unless you do, you know, give away X, Y, and Z. Well, let's give away X and Y, but not Z. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things, if we can get rid of that border war, I think that will help. I also think a regional cooperation, and I do think having better regional-oriented leaders. I mean, you know, Peggy Dunn is always cited as one over in Leawood. The forces against that are always cited as Ed Eiler, the Johns County Commissioner and head, and, you know, Carl Gerlach, Overland Park, Mike
right.
Bainville,
and
Nexa. They're not seen as regional guys. Now, when you talk to them, they say, oh, well, our primary reason is to get a good, you know, a good Johnson County or a good Lenexa or Overland Park. But, you know, guys, unless Kansas City, Missouri is really strong, and Sly James is doing a lot to help that as well as are the residents, and they're responsible for it, this region will not grow strongly. And it has not been growing as strong as it should in the last decade or so. So I do think regional cooperation is a good issue to look for in 2014.
Mary O'Halloran, is the border war about to end? What's your crystal ball tell you about 2014 when it comes to that
issue? Oh, heavens
no.
Not until Governor Sam Brownback gets behind it.
And we're not quite...
I haven't
yet.
Heard anything from his mouth saying that he's going to go in that direction. I would just like to add something, Steve, about the economy here in the metro, and it kind of builds on what Yale said. I was just astounded, Mark Davis's article in the Star about the economic growth. That's the best thing that could happen to the families and children in the center of the city, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Is we just 4.1. growth this last year. Not so sure it carried it all the way through the year. He had Sprint, their stock going up 26%. The number of regional employers with just incredible growth is a great sign. And I take a look at Cerner and how they're going to benefit from the Affordable Care Act and expanding to the southeastern section of the city.
The Bannister Mall.
That is just a revolutionary change for the people who live in that direction. So the economy is starting to affect the city in a very positive way. And I hope that we can build on some of the things Yale said. We have to start reconnecting the urban area. And as you probably know, I'm a big supporter of Mike Sanders' approach.
Mike Shannon. Oh, I'm
Shannon.
Sorry.
It could be Shannon sometimes. It could be
rarely.
Sanders.
Rarely Shannon, by the way. Mike, you're chewing at the bit. You want to jump in here? Well, the Ruckettes are in the house. If you want to join our conversation with a prediction of what you'd like to see happen in the metro this year, what do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction for 2014? 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, update@kcur.org. Gail. What's Kansas City's biggest challenge as we enter 2014?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I guess I'll start with the KCI debate because I think that's, you know, people talk about sports being our image or whatever, but KCI has also become the image of Kansas City. It's a negative image with some people. Like, you know, this thing is 40 years old. It needs to be improved. Let's get it improved. I think there is a large segment, I'm almost going to say maybe even the silent majority of people who think that. You then certainly have the counterparts of, hey, it's convenient. Don't mess with it. We don't need to spend $1 billion on new shops and, you know, new long security lines or whatever. And there's a vehemence there that I think does make this a big issue. The vehemence is from the opponents, which is you try to do this or ram this down our throat, we're going to defeat an election. And that's, you know, certainly a possibility. And the city people have to take that seriously. They didn't 2 years ago when, you know, Mark Manlow, aviation director, said, we're going to build this no matter what you think at an editorial board meeting. It's kind of like, no, I don't think you're going to. And the times are proven correct. They're not going to do it unless the people of Kansas City can buy in. So let's quickly turn to, well, I think there are going to be some vehement supporters of change. And Sly James is, in my opinion, one of them. He talks about we really need to improve this airport, improve it for image, improve it for convenience, actually, of people going to and from Kansas City and maybe even transferring here. To my mind of thinking, we've written this in the Star, and I certainly believe this personally, we have to have the debate. I'm much more on the side of change is needed. I'm not sure it's $1.2 billion change. I'm not sure it has to be a single terminal. But I do think this idea that, oh, the status quo is working so well is wrong. I mean, yes, it's convenient to drop people off, but you could have a new terminal that where it's convenient to drop people off, and we get all these other things. So Mike, let's have that debate. I think it's a big challenge for us.
Is that the biggest challenge facing the city in 2014?
No, I think Yale touched on the biggest challenge a few minutes ago when he said we need to unify the community and get people to start thinking of this as one metro area, despite the parochial interest of the many. And I understand that, but I've been saying that for as long as I've lived in Kansas. I don't know.
We've all been saying that for a long time. How do you do it?
Well, it depends upon who's leading the charge.
Mayor James and Mayor Holland from KCK seem to have a thing going on, and that seems to be working in a good way. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, when Annabeth Serbaugh was the head of the commission in Johnson County, she was extraordinarily positive, went out of her way to find ways in which Kansas City and Johnson County and Wyandotte County could cooperate. It does depend upon the leaders of the area.
Okay, and Steve, don't laugh, but here's actually the way it happens. You have another bi-state tax. You have it for arts. You have it for transit.
Interesting
you
idea.
Have it for something. And you look back at the 96 election on Union Station, and you can say, right now, standing here today, that worked. You know, you could have the zoo election. The zoo is already, it's working. Hey, let's get it over in Johnson County so they can get, you know, free admission and all that kind of stuff,
would
too.
Johnson County, would the leaders over there permit that to happen
right now?
No, I mean, I'm sorry, but no, Ed Eilert currently would not. Annabeth Serbaugh wasn't as open to it as I wish she had been on getting a bi-state thing. And some of that, obviously, is state legislature, too, and they're resistant to it. So you're asking, how could it happen? Well, that's how it could happen with a regional. Hey, we're all in this. Oh, man, my money's being spent over in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm going to care more about it. Or, you know, my money's being spent over in Johnson County. I care more about it. So that's how it happened. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the zoo is probably the best example where it could happen.
You know, that sounds like something that one of your favorite mayors, Mark Funkhauser, had proposed, a bi-state tax for the various civic amenities, the zoo and
rub it in, Mike.
Parks.
There we go.
We have museums.
Let me go to some phone calls here. Lots of folks who have ideas of what they want to see happen in the metro in 2014 or predictions for the new year. Let's go to Cecilia from Raytown. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Nice to have you.
Well, I have been real aware of the effort along Truce with Truce folks to make that more of a place of coming together and meeting rather than a dividing line, because it has divided our city east and west and black and white. And, you know, at one time in our history, there was a conscious effort to do that. But now there's a conscious effort to make it a place where people are coming together. And that whole area of Truce from roughly 31st to, I would say, about 55th or so, there's more stores coming in there. There's more activity. There's more concern about seeing our city come together.
Okay. Cecilia, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mary from Kansas City, Missouri. Mary, you're on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I would like to comment on the Kansas City, Missouri School District.
Yes.
And that for 2014, I hope that there are more parents involved with their schools. There are some, but we need more. And that there will always be a core set of teachers who stay after school because they are concerned about their students and they want them to get ahead. And I just want the public to realize that. And that's all for now.
All right, Mary, thank you for the call. And she agrees with Mike Shannon. That's a rarity around here. Let's go to some tweets we've got coming across the transom here at KCUR. Up to date, our sassy pants tweets this: more and better public transportation in the new year. John Stamm tweets this: will UMKC finally rename, rebrand? Will Chancellor Leo Morton continue the progress? Answer, UMKC passed on the name change. So I guess that's John Stamm's answer to that. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation with the Ruckettes here. We'll talk about Governor Sam Brownback. We'll talk about the Chiefs. We'll talk about the Royals. And we'll talk about some other big issues facing Kansas City, the metro area, in 2014. And who was the Ruckettes' Person of the Year, their MOCAM Person of the Year for 2013? I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you're looking for our list of the best music or the best films or the best kids' books of 2013, you can find those in all of our broadcasts. Just go to kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, we take another look ahead for 2014. This time, what to expect from the television shows that are premiering this month on the networks and everywhere else in 2014, the new TV shows coming up with our TV critics. This hour, we're visiting with the Ruckettes, Mike Shannon, Mary O'Halloran, Yael Abulhaka. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. Mary O'Halloran, what's the big story you're sort of anticipating or watching in the metro area for 2014?
Well, I think that it doesn't start or sound like a metro question, but whether or not Sam Brownback is reelected governor of the state of Kansas will affect this metro like nothing else.
Yeah.
If it is possible for moderate Republicans to reignite or to reorganize or to come out of the closet, wherever they are, and unite with Democrats to give him a strong challenge and perhaps send him packing, it would have a huge impact on all manner of things, particularly education. The policies of the Brownback administration with regard to tuition at KU, with regard to funding local schools, is outrageous. I mean, we talk about the Kansas City, Missouri school district all the time, but the decline of the Shawnee Mission School District is something that needs to be discussed publicly more directly. His refusal, Steve, to accept the increase in Medicaid affects 100,000 people who would have health care were he not willing to send back millions of dollars to the federal government.
Well, Mary, the Democratic candidate is Paul Davis. His running mate is Jill Docking. Do you think they're going to give Sam Brownback a run this year? Or it's a heavily Republican state. I'm not telling you anything you don't know very well. What do you think?
Well, I think they are. I think that he's a sort of unlikely candidate, Paul, in the sense that he's not charismatic. You know, he hasn't a big media following. He doesn't have he's not rich. let's be candid. But he is someone that is widely respected. And also, Sam Brownback's poll numbers are very, very low and have been for weeks and months. I think the people of the state are beginning to react to the reality of an extraordinarily right-wing governor who's very radical in his ideas about what the state ought to be doing. He's not a conservative in any.
All right. And from the other side of the spectrum, Mike Shannon, do you share that view or
no,
not?
No, I don't. I suspect Brownback will win re-election, and we've heard Mary on this line of thinking on previous occasions, including the last election in 2012, when she indicated all of the legislators supporting the Brownback view would be unelected, they would fail to achieve office, and the voters seem to feel differently. But in terms of one of my parochial interests, if I may, I'm very curious what's going to happen with the administration in Kansas City, Kansas, Wyandotte County Unified Government. We have a new mayor,
Mark Holland.
Mark Holland has been in office now for about 6 months, and he follows in the footsteps of two very effective mayors, Carol Marinovich and Joe Reardon. They both endorsed him. I don't know much about him. I've watched him in interviews, and about all I could glean was that if elected, he would move the government and the community to the next level. Now, I don't know what the next level is, and I'm not sure anybody does, but perhaps during this coming year we will find out what that is and if, in fact, we get there.
What does the next level in Wyandotte County need to be?
Well, you need to have an east side that gets some development and some cleansing and some civic improvements that have been lacking for decades.
Do you see any progress, any movement in that direction right now, Mike? Whether or not Mark Holland's the mayor of unified government or not, are good things happening?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't see any significant changes when I travel through downtown Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah. Yale Abuhaka, the big story you're watching, anticipating in the metro this year is going to be what?
Really, we touched on some of them. I mean, I can't single them out. I mean, I think the economic development angle is a big one. So border war / is Cerner going to really develop out there? Because that, as Mary indicated, that could really help South Kansas City. Again, I'll go back to KCI. I think it's just a crucial decision for us, the transit thing on streetcar. I'll finish by breaking the tie here and going, I think Brownback will be reelected. I just think Kansas and Missouri in general are so conservative these days with the state legislators that it's really kind of swung that way. Now, it can always swing back, and that's, you know, that might happen. The only way I see that happening really in Kansas is if some of all these tax promises don't get fulfilled. I mean, we have another 9 or 10 months of data that will be coming out, and by, you know, September or whatever, it's like, wait a minute. No, we really didn't get this many new jobs. That would hurt Brownback. Now, obviously, if there's indications going the other way, then he's going to win that argument. But I do think that, you know, things change. We know this so often in politics. You know, something could happen, whatever, you know, that would make, and Brownback, she's right. Brownback in polling proves to be unpopular. There's something about him. He doesn't connect with people like a Sly James does, just for example.
Yeah.
But Kansans being conservative elect him. I mean, the Pat Roberts race, I mean, that's a race to the conservative hell cliff, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, who can be the more ultra-conservative in that particular race? So I think that's going to swing, you know, some people paying attention to conservative-type stuff. So I think it's a big issue, the school funding. And if the Kansas legislature actually defies a Kansas Supreme Court ruling on funding, you know, that might
that would be a story.
Go to people going, wait a minute, we don't think you should be doing that. And that could swing back again to progressive / moderatism. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
And we're waiting for that decision any day now.
Yeah.
Any
yes.
day it could
yeah.
happen. Yale, one question in the new year for you. A decision is going to be made, I think, before too long on what the second leg of the streetcar line,
yes.
where it's going to go.
Yeah.
I can't believe, just common sense tells me, it will go from Crown Center to the Plaza and maybe to UMKC.
Yes.
Any reason not to think that won't
no,
be the case?
No, they're really, and I had a good discussion with some of the light rail people, or sorry, streetcar people, just a few days ago, and they are really hoping that there are the three-pronged extension really gets approved. That you go south, like you said, you go east on 31st / Linwood, and you go east on Independence. And they're going to try to tie that all in one, I'm going to say one package, maybe even one election
wow.
later on this year. If they do that, that's a $400 million approximately local investment in streetcar. And then plus you have to get another $400 million or so from the federal
interesting
government.
Interesting idea.
So,
they're yeah.
hoping that if, and this is the, you know, they could do it in one, with one election, that this would happen, it'd be later this year, you'd have an 8 to 10 mile expansion going all the way south to the UMKC, but also doing the east prongs.
Wow, interesting.
Would that be a sales tax to finance
yes.
it?
Yeah, it'd be a 1 cent sales tax, at least the idea
and
right
now.
And
don't you often point out how high the sales
yeah.
tax
but, you know,
is?
Well, I do, and people just continue to pay. You're paying 12% downtown now at some of these restaurants with the power and light, the streetcar, the 2% restaurant tax. you're at 12.35% of
restaurants. Percent here, percent there.
Exactly.
And pretty soon you're talking
about
no money,
but
right?
We just did have an election where one could say that the people of this city,
said no thank you.
Of this county, said no thank you to it. No thank you at 86% of the voters.
That is correct.
We're talking with the Rickettes. We're talking about predictions for the new year and what you want to see happen in the Kansas City Metro in 2014. Let's go back to some phone calls. And Vincent from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to comment on the airport. I used to be, just keep an airport like it is until I travel to Atlanta. And it's a one-terminal deal, and I realized what airport is set up now is good for travelers, but it's bad for business because you don't have a lot of foot traffic in one location. It's just the busy airlines. They're the only ones who have more foot traffic. So I'm for revamping the airport and making it a one-terminal. So it'll be good for business. Then it may be a good little, getaway spot sometime to go out and just, people watch or support restaurants there.
All right, Vincent. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I remember, Steve, that municipal airport was thought to be very, very convenient, and people were deeply concerned when KCI came into existence and what is now the Wheeler Airport was no longer the major air facility in Kansas City. So I think it's typical whenever you try to modify what exists, you have people complain about that because they love it and they want it to remain the way it has been.
And, Mike, you would remember that.
I would remember that.
Yes, just for the record. Yeah, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Frank from Lawrence. Frank, welcome to Up to Date. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm going to mention to you guys, at a public meeting about a month ago here in Lawrence, University of Kansas political scientist Burdette Loomis, who's well known in the area.
Yes.
When I asked him the question at that meeting about Sam Brownback's possibilities of a re-election next year, or this year rather, he said that there was a 50-50 chance that Brownback could win or lose that election based on any missteps in Topeka regarding the school funding issue, Medicaid defunding that he did, the Affordable Care Act, voter registration, and various other issues taking place down in Topeka.
I appreciate that, Frank, and Burdette knows what he's talking about. 50-50 might be a little generous for the Democrats, but we'll see.
Well, I always have to remember, Steve, that, we've had many Democratic governors, and we don't elect senators or congresspeople too easily that are Democrats in Kansas. But, boy, we have had, I think it's still equal number of years as with Democratic governors as with Republicans.
It is amazing. It does seesaw back and forth, even in Kansas, when it comes to governors. Not for U.S. senators, but for governors, yeah. Well, who was your MOCAN person of the year for 2013? Anyone from the metro, one of our two states, who sort of stood out to you for one reason or another? Mary, who'd you go with?
Well, I'm going to go with Governor Jay Nixon. I think that the leadership that he's shown on economic development this year has been extraordinary. He works with that very, very conservative legislature in positive ways, and seems to be able to at least keep. Now we'll see what happens in the coming session, where there's some movements afoot to take away his authority to manage the budget the way he sees fit. But his work on economic development, I think, makes him.
Well, he wants more money this year for public schools. He wants more money for higher education. At the same time, he's talking about Medicaid expansion in Missouri. Lots more federal dollars coming to the state. At the same time that Republicans are talking about tax cuts. So it's a huge collision of priorities here.
And I think the Medicaid question could be key. Mm-hmm. Because the expansion of Medicaid in Missouri, I don't know, Yale or Mike, how many people, but I think it's close to 300,000 people. And along with it comes billions of dollars. And many, many Republican governors have gone along with the president's plan to cover these people.
But you're not holding your breath on the Missouri General Assembly on this issue, I don't
imagine.
I
think it'll be a real fight. But there are cracks in the wall there in terms of support for the governor's moves.
Mike Shannon, your MOCAN Person of the Year for 2013.
We have talked about the company he runs. Let's mention the man, Neil Patterson, chairman of Cerner Corporation.
And you pick him because?
Because of the Bannister Mall development that we just heard about a few days ago being finalized and heard about taking place some time ago. Also what he's done over in Kansas City, Kansas with the soccer team and the stadium there and the office facility that his company is constructing. And beyond that, the company in existence north of the river is one of the biggest employers in Kansas City and one of the biggest companies in the nation.
Yale.
Boy. Nixon's actually an interesting choice because he really had two of his, you know, his gun veto and his tax veto, I thought were the right things, and he won barely on both those, so that was big. But he had so many other missteps. You know, you could go with Mayor Sly James as a default because he had some success, certainly in streetcar, but as I pointed out, he didn't get what he wanted on police. The tax issues, nothing ever really percolated this year. And I was trying to think of business world. You know, Greg Graves over at Burns McDonald still with the big five ideas that are going along. I guess by default I'd go with Sly just because you keep going back to, well, if you're going to have a successful metropolitan area, you have to have a successful city. Well, who's the leader of a successful city? It's Sly James. Oh, well, he's still upbeat. Oh, his progress is still being made. I think you and I have talked about this before. Richard Berkeley, Kay Barnes, Emanuel Cleaver, Mark Funkhauser, all four of those had horrible, more or less horrible, first four years. And I can go back and document that. But Sly James had a great first 3 years now. And if he has a next, you know, good year here, he's going to be reelected. And hopefully he can really build on that in his second term. So I'd guess by default go with Sly.
You know, I agree with all those picks. My pick, when Nick Haines again asked me on Week in Review, I picked Adele Hall, you know, only because I just thought her contributions in such a quiet, steady manner for so many years were so profound. And I just miss her, and I know a lot of folks do as well, since she passed away about almost a year ago at this time. More tweets here. Amy Gurick tweets us this: I live in Joco and totally agree that the border war will not end until Governor Brownback gets behind it and until we become a unified metro. Paul Savastano tweets: in 2014, I would love to see a formal announcement on Mike Sanders' rail project, at least that there's an agreement to begin and get that thing going. So that's from Paul there. How about some really pressing issues? The Chiefs in their run for the Super Bowl, Mike Shannon, where are we going here? How far are they going to go?
I don't think they're going to get all the way, but I think they'll get past this weekend's
game. Do you think so?
Yeah.
In Indianapolis?
I don't know.
Good for you.
I'm not a big sports fan. I'm just faking it.
Yeah. Mary, where are they going?
It could happen. By the way, the coach of the Chiefs as the person of the year.
You could make a case.
You could really make a case. To turn something around so radically, was so wrong. Going in the wrong direction and achieve this kind of success is amazing.
Yale, and how
Coach
far are they going?
They will lose this Saturday, unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
There you go.
You're just laying it right out there.
Played horribly the last 9 weeks, and, you know.
Well, we would have to end up playing Peyton Manning anyway. You know,
at some point.
Think about that.
A little tough. But it's turned to warmer weather and warmer thoughts and the Royals. And what do you expect this year?
Well, I do think they're moving in the right direction. I'm a big baseball fan. And certainly I remember 1985 very well. And it's become, you know, we were at 29 years and counting to be in the playoffs. But, I mean, this is the year. You have all the guys who are more or less in their prime, that 26, 27, 28-year-old thing of Billy Butler and Moustakas and Hosmer, and, you know, the pitching staff is set up to be, you know, hopefully about as good as they were last year, which is among the best in the AL. But the great thing about baseball is it's 81 dates a year, and if they really are good, that really does help the city because it's almost every night they're playing.
Would it really help the city if the stadium was downtown in Yale?
Yeah, the stadium could be downtown. If you would have wanted to spend $500 million, Kraske, I didn't.
I would have footed half that bill. Mike Shane, how far are they going to get?
I agree with Yale. Whatever Yale says about sports, I agree with.
They have a real chance.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, I want to thank Mike Shannon, Mary O'Halloran, Yale Abuhaka, the Ruckettes. The show airs at 7:30 every Thursday evening on Kansas City Public Television, Channel 19. And Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year.
Thank you,
Steve. You bet.